Thing turned on? All right. Well, it is graduation Sunday. We're so thankful that everyone's joined us and glad that you're all here. We're proud of our students. We're proud of our student ministry. I think you guys saw a little bit of what they work on so hard all the time, and not just the ones that took part in today's service, but many others. I'm just proud of every one of them, and it's humbling to be able to be a part of the ministry and to be able to lead these students toward a closer relationship with Christ. That's our goal, and it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome adventure. We'll be talking about adventure in a few moments, but for now we want to recognize some of our graduating seniors. We have two from high school and one from college this morning, and I'm not sure who's first. Let's pull up the screen here and see. Miss Kathleen Smoke, if you'll join me up on stage, please. Give her a hand, guys. She's graduating high school. So Kathleen's the leader of the youth praise band, as you may could tell. She's been leading this thing for a couple of years. 2 years ago, we gave up the leadership of it as adults, and we let her take over, and she's been doing a fantastic job, and we're there to oversee and make sure that they have everything they need, but she's done a fantastic job, and we're proud of her for so many reasons. And Kathleen, did you want to tell the congregation what your plans are? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Going to go into nursing, but then I changed it recently, kind of at the last minute, because I really felt a call to ministry. So that's my ultimate goal right now. I'm going to Anderson. I'm majoring in secondary English education and minoring in ministry. So I might do something in teaching. It's kind of unclear, like, exactly as what I want to do, but I know definitely eventually something in ministry. So
awesome. Thank you, Kathleen. I'm proud of you. Next up, Mr. Eric McDade. The sharp-dressed man. I love you, man. Sorry. So I've known Eric for a few years now and gotten to know him and his family, and I don't know if you're going to find a better family or young man. We're proud of him for so many reasons. He's grown in maturity and height. But Eric's a steady guy. You can depend on him. You can count on him. Always have. And he's began working at Moe's here recently, and I've noticed just an increase in that dependability and just a pride in his work. Give you a quick indicator of that. One day we were in the youth zone, and I was getting pretty frustrated with the trash and the food that was everywhere, and I yell at the students all the time about it and threaten to take their food away if they don't clean up after themselves. And you probably don't even know this, but I noticed that he was over there sweeping it up and cleaning it up by himself. I didn't mention it to him or anyone. He just decided to do it. And so I noticed those things, and I appreciate those things, and that's the kind of guy that he is. And so I know that you'll go on to do great things as well. You want to share what your plans are?
I plan on going to USC to pursue a career in civil engineering. So, right, that's what I want to do.
Awesome. Congratulations, Eric. Last but not least, we have a college graduate with us in our midst today, Miss Lindsay McDade. So Lindsay graduated from, I'll let you tell, because I can't remember the name of your school.
I actually graduated twice this year. I graduated from the Columbia Fire Recruit School in January, and I graduated from Greenville Tech in May. But I didn't go to graduation at Greenville Tech, because I was kind of tired of being graduated. But I now have a degree in fire science, and I work for the City of Columbia Fire Department, and I'm stationed downtown.
And Lindsay felt the call to become a firefighter, and she not only fights physical fires, but I know that she's doing some spiritual firefighting as well. She's a light in that firehouse, and so we need to pray for her as she deals with some tough situations, perhaps, and tough, difficult people, perhaps. But she's felt that call in her life, I believe, for some time, right? And now she's seeing that come to fruition. And we're proud of her and excited for her and her journey as well. Thank you, Lindsay. Congratulations. Okay, I've got to get my notes over here. You have to forgive me. I've been told I could move this table, right? Okay. Try not to scratch up the nice hardwood up here. All right, there's my workout for the day. It's kind of a big table. It's bigger than I thought. Well, good morning, guys. Thank you for letting me take this time to bring a lesson, a sermon here. And so I'm going to try to make it short. I think we're maybe a little short on time, so I'll talk really fast. How about that? I'll teach fast, okay? I kind of feel like a robot with this thing on up here on my face. I'm not used to that, so bear with me. You know, it's that time of year again where we start to talk about transitions and changes and the excitement and the adventure that comes with that. Last year around this time, I don't know if you remember, but I spoke about how the life changes that we experience we should view as adventures with God. And today I'm going to really further that talk about how to pursue those adventures in life. And we'll talk about how to pursue and make the most of the general opportunities that God gives to every one of us, as well as some of the specific opportunities that God gives us as his individual, uniquely created children. And so I guess really this is part two of last year's lesson. So hopefully you were here then and maybe you remember some of it. But if not, this is a standalone lesson and it should be fine. It should work. So as I prepared this lesson, I started thinking about our graduates and started thinking about what maybe they might would need to hear at this particular mile marker in their lives. So I began to think about them, and it reminded me of the good old days. Back when I was in school, I started reminiscing about those times, and I say good old days in quotations because those weren't really the good old days, and I'm very glad that I'm no longer in high school. And, students, you may understand that one day. But, I got to thinking about my particular life story and how God's always been involved at every step. And so I've got to tell you, today's sermon is really more of a testimonial from me, as well as some points that I'll give us with Scripture here in a few moments that I hope that you can apply to your life as well. I think about how God has made at every moment, every chapter from high school graduation for me back then up to now. He's made, or he's at least tried to make, every chapter better for me. He's always been there for me and tried to just build me up and make me into the person that he wanted me to be. He's never given up on me. And so that reminds me of a verse. I'll try to put this up here. Yes, it works. This is Philippians 2:13. For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I'm so thankful that God's never given up on me through all these years. I'm thankful that he's constantly been pointing me in the right direction, trying to take me to higher adventures with him and helping me avoid the pitfalls along the way as well. I want you to know that God wants the same for each of us. He wants to come alongside you and guide you and steer you through life. As you make the decisions of your life, he wants to be there to counsel you through those and to guide you to the best possible place that you could be, which is inside of his will, living in a right relationship with him. And so especially during those transition times, such as graduation, God wants to come alongside us and help us to choose the right adventures to take. Excuse me. So maybe you're here today, and maybe you're going through a transition, whether it's graduation or some kind of other life transition. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're just simply wondering, God, what is your will for my life? I have been there many times, and so I'm sure that we can all relate. I think for all of us, at times, we've struggled with that feeling of wondering, God, what is your will for my life? And so that's really what we're talking about this morning, how to discern God's will in the middle of those adventures that we find ourselves living with him. And then living out that will, that's certainly an adventure in life, and so it's one well worth taking. And so I remember back in school, we used to have those choose-your-own-adventure books. Does anybody remember those? the choose-your-own-adventure novels, and yeah, I always loved those books, you know, because I think I read like two or three of those books, which is about half of the books I've ever read, so I really enjoyed them. I'm just kidding. I've read more books than that, but it was cool because, you know, you could get to the end of the book, and then you could go back and reread or read the other option, the other ending. It was kind of like getting to read two books in one. But the main thing I always liked about those books was that you could determine the ending to your own story. The ending wasn't dictated by the author. You know, it was an empowering feeling. I always felt, you know, significant. And I felt like there was a purpose in me reading the book and making the choice as to which adventure, which choice I would make. And so I believe that our lives are kind of like that in the sense that we get to choose our own adventure, in the sense that we have many options in life that we can take. And so in many ways, we get to write our own story. Now, ultimately, God is in control. He's in control of his creation. He gives us the freedom to make choices, both right and wrong. And catch this point, you know, the outcome of God's kingdom does not depend on our obedience to him, but our outcome does. And so, you know, God's story is going to be written in spite of our poor choices, but our individual poor choices will greatly hinder the outcome of our individual stories. And so we need to be careful how we live our lives and how we choose our adventures. So it's a partnership. It's a partnership with God that we have the honor of accepting and living out. And I want to make a disclaimer. When I use the word partnership or co-author, I want to make it clear that I believe that Jesus is Lord and that we're to fully submit our lives to him. And so I'm not talking about a business partnership where it's 50-50. You know, Jesus is Lord, and we're to fully submit to him, but nevertheless, he gives us choices to make. He gives us options, and he leaves it up to us many times as to which path we'll take. And in so doing, he begins to reveal his will to us as we remain obedient to him and making us choices and to follow him and living out his word and engaging him in prayer life. He begins to make that will more clear. So I think it's fascinating that God has chosen to communicate to us through story, oftentimes through story. You know, we can read through the Old Testament and we see story after story of how God has co-authored life with his creation. You know, of course, we see examples of men and women partnering with God to write out the stories of their lives. Yeah, I think about Abraham and how God directly led him to be, you know, Father Abraham, the Father Abraham that we know of. I think of Jonah and how God gave him a mission to Nineveh and ultimately to change the heart of that city. And we can look at the disciples of Christ and see how God took these ordinary men and did extraordinary things through them and through their obedience to him. And so God used all these people, and he used their unique gifts, their unique talents, their passions and their desires, and he used those things to accomplish his will on earth. And so in each of these Bible stories, it was both God and man working together to accomplish his will. And so we do get to make our own choices. And to me, that's exciting and that's freeing. It's also scary at times. But it's exciting to know that my loving God wants me to co-author the story of my life with him. He wants to partner with me to write a beautiful story and to help others as well. God did not create us to be robots. He created us as his children. And he gives us a responsibility to play our part. Now, we certainly don't control everything, as we certainly know. Obviously, life brings us surprises, both good, bad, and ugly. But we do get to determine our reaction to those events, and thus we write our own story. I think most of us understand that. I think we get that God gives us a free will, that he gives us the choice to make the right decisions in our lives. But the harder thing sometimes, oftentimes I believe, and for me certainly throughout my life, the harder thing has been determining at times, God, what exactly is your will for me right now? Sometimes God steps in and he gives you a specific direction. I want you to go in this direction. I want you to take on this task, and it's very clear and it's very specific. However, I believe often God's simply saying to us, you know, make your own choice. As long as it's inside of my will, as long as it's inside of the guidelines of my word. And so I drew a diagram. Maybe this will help you guys learn. This helped me for sure. Sometimes God's will is like the diagram on the left. Sometimes there's one specific point that God wants us to arrive at, one particular task that he wants us to be obedient in. And sometimes God's will is like the diagram on the right, Sometimes God gives us the freedom to choose for ourselves within a range of options, as long as we don't stray outside of what His Word would teach us. An example of the left side would be when God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and demand that he release the Jews from captivity. If you remember, Moses wrestled with that task. He wasn't a clear communicator at the time. He was really apprehensive. He didn't feel comfortable or confident in pursuing that particular adventure at that particular time with God. And if he had decided not to go, he would have been in direct disobedience and outside of God's will. I think a simple example of the right side is purchasing a car. You know, I think that there are probably plenty of cars that God would be okay with you going out and making a purchase on. You know, God's probably more concerned with the way that you go about making the decision to buy a car than which car you wind up choosing. Now, you know, God would probably not be okay with me, you know, going out and leasing a Ferrari because, number one, I couldn't afford it. But even if I could, it would wipe out my finances. It wouldn't be a very wise decision. So that's the example that I'm given. The point is that sometimes there are many options that God is okay with, given that we make a biblical, prayerful, and overall wise choice. And so in those times when God gives us a clear and specific direction, discerning His will is easy. You know, Abraham knew that God wanted him to be prepared to sacrifice Isaac. He had no misunderstandings about what God's will was. Jonah knew that God told him to go to Nineveh. As much as he didn't want to go, he knew what God was telling him to do. And likewise, Moses knew that God wanted him to confront Pharaoh. As difficult as it was, he knew exactly what he was being called and told to do. The hard thing for those guys wasn't discerning God's will, but actually obeying it. So maybe that's where you're sitting this morning. Maybe God's given you clear directive, and you're just hesitant because, for whatever reason, you fear making that choice, you fear taking that leap of faith. Maybe that's where you're at. But often we find ourselves in situations where we're just not sure what path God wants us to take. And so we must choose our own adventures to pursue. But even in those times, I want us to understand that we're not alone and we're not without guidance. I know in my life, there have been some times where God has given me clear direction as to what choice He wanted me to make. And I may have shared this in a previous message. I can't remember. I know I've told the youth numerous times, but this is part of who I am. It's part of my testimony. And this was a really big turning point in my life. One day, God told me to quit my job that day. So I show up on the job, and the Holy Spirit's just all over me, telling me to leave the job. And it sounds crazy, right? Yeah, it sounds crazy. Doesn't sound very practical. It was just a crazy thing. But, you know, I remember thinking and struggling in those early hours of that really long day. You know, God, this would be foolish to just quit my job without giving a two-week notice. That's not even proper, Lord. I remember thinking, you know, God, how am I going to find money, you know, to make ends meet? What am I supposed to do? What are you trying to get me into here? I struggled for hours with that decision, but finally I obeyed. I marched into my boss's office. I sat down and I shared with him what God was doing in my life, and he thought I was crazy. He wasn't a believer, and he thought I was nuts. But I was able to quote scripture to him. I was able to witness to him like never before. And who knows how God may have used that to plant seeds in his heart that day. But later in life, I realized that there were some negative influences at that job that God wanted me to get away from. And if I had failed to listen to him that day and take that leap of faith, I may not have ever gotten away from those negative influences. Interestingly enough, just a couple of months after that episode in my life, God called me and placed me on a team to start a new church in Lexington. And that experience changed my walk with God forever. And ultimately, it gave me the credentials and the experience to later be led here to this church, to this ministry. You know, God knew what He was doing the whole time. And I'm just so glad and so thankful that in my hesitancy and in my reluctance, in my fear, I nevertheless took that leap of faith and I obeyed Him. And God's been working ever since. He had a specific goal for me at that specific time, and though I couldn't see it, I knew that I had to obey. But unlike that experience, many times in my life, probably most times in my life, I've struggled. I've really struggled with knowing what God's specific will for me was. You know, God, what do you want me to do with myself? And for me, many of those struggles were in the areas of school and career. I remember thinking and praying countless times, God, do you want me to enroll in this college or in that college? Lord, do you want me to take this job or do you want me to go into an entirely different career field altogether? I've really struggled at times to understand God's will in these areas throughout my adult life. Perhaps some of you can relate. Maybe so. During these times of uncertainty, I want us to realize that there are some things that we can do to prepare ourselves for when God does reveal that next specific step for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you find yourself in a similar situation. You know, whether it's which college should I attend or what career path should I take, or maybe, how should I address a particular relationship in my life? Please know that while His specific will may seem unknown to you, there are things that He expects us to do while we're waiting for that specific clarification from Him. There are some things that He wants us to do. There are some general things that God wants from every one of us. His general will for each and every one of us is the same. So I'm going to put some of these on the screen here. And I'd encourage you to take notes. I think the sermon outline or the bulletin maybe has some notes taking space on the back there. Maybe jot down these 4 points and the scriptures that come along with them so that you can go back home and maybe read over them later and further study them. I'll tell you, these are very simple in theory, harder in practice. And so if you find yourself in one of those moments like I've been in many times in my life where you're wondering, God, what do you want from me? Where do you want me to go? Which way do you want me to turn? We need to do these things. Number one, it's God's will. It's God's will for everyone that we come to a point of repentance. Repentance of our sins and trust in Jesus as our Redeemer, our Savior, and our co-author of our life. In John 3:16, we all know the verse, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And it's God's will that every person come to this point of repenting of our sins, giving up the old self, giving up the old life, giving up our will, and replacing it with His. Number two, and all these will be on the screen again in a minute. Number two, God wants sanctification for our lives. He wants us to separate ourselves from this world and dedicate ourselves to Him. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22 says this, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he'll be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." So these youthful passions, students, especially as you graduate, as you begin to mature and grow, these are, those youthful passions. We're not talking about your youthful desire to play music for God or your youthful desire to engage in athletics and give Him the glory for it. That's not what it's talking about. We're talking about the youthful desires that are inappropriate against God's word. These are the things that we need to flee from and instead pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And so, those things don't just apply to youth or teenagers. They apply to me and you, for all of us. How many times do we go back to those things in our lives and give in to those things that we once conquered and by so doing, cloud the will of God in our lives? And so God wants us to sanctify ourselves, to set ourselves apart, to separate ourselves from the world and to dedicate ourselves to Him. At this point, I've got to mention two things, God's word and prayer, because it's through those two things that God brings about the sanctification in our lives. We must not neglect reading God's word, learning from it, obeying it, and we must not neglect humbling ourselves in prayer before God as we seek out His specific will and direction for us. It's through those two things, God's word and prayer, that He's able to make the changes in our soul and in our lives. So number three, we're expected to love God and love others. Matthew 7:12 says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." And of course, Jesus gave the great commandment of love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We're expected to love God and to love others, whether or not you know God's specific will at a particular time in your life or not. As we do these things, God will begin to reveal more and more of his specific will for us. As we neglect these things, we get further and further away from understanding what it is that God wants for us as an individual. And number four, God wants us to use our individual gifts, talents, to serve him and to serve others. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. That's how we see God's grace when we look at one another and how God has brought us from where we once were to where he wants us to be. It's an exhibition of God's grace at work. And so these four things are again, simple in theory, but sometimes hard in practice. And so I think it's a reminder this morning that we need to make sure that we're taking care of business, so to speak, if we're seeking a revelation from God. God, what do you want me to do in my life? Which way do you want me to turn? He may be looking back at us and saying, how are you doing with the general stuff that I've given for all of us to be doing? So here the four things are. I'll leave them on the board for a while if you want to jot them down. You know, if there's ever been a time in our world where we need more people living like this, it's now. I think we'd all agree. You know, I look at the condition of our nation and our world, and it seems like less and less people are seriously living by biblical guidelines. No wonder things seem so confusing and chaotic. You know, I think we often like to complain about the condition of our nation. I know I do. But, you know, where does the real change start? You know, it starts inside of each one of us. And as more of us separate ourselves from the world, from worldly living, as more of us truly begin to live a life of loving God and loving others, as more of us begin to use our gifts and talents to serve God instead of serve ourselves, I believe we'll begin to see a healing in our land. But again, we must choose our own adventures. I want to encourage us all this morning to choose the adventure of living with God and living for God, obeying his word, seeking him out in prayer, and implementing these lessons in our life. And as we live these things out, God will honor us. He'll honor those commitments that he's made to us throughout his word. And as we do that, we'll also make him known. As we begin to live as he's told us to, we'll begin to make him known, and he will begin to reveal more and more things to us. So if you're feeling like I've felt many times, wondering what God's will is for your life, then put these things into practice and wait on the Lord. You know, many times it's through these things that God reveals himself and reveals his specific will for our lives. As we rid ourselves of sin and pride, as we seek to make him known, and as we prioritize loving him and serving others, God will direct us toward that specific will that he has for us. And he'll be pleased with how we've lived our lives in the process of finding that specific will. I'm sure that you've heard the saying, life is a journey, not a destination. Well, applying these biblical lessons to our life and living in a way that pleases God is not only an exciting and adventurous journey, but it leads to the ultimate destination, which is really a righteous, fruitful, and eternal relationship with the God of the universe. How cool is that? And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. So if God's leading you toward a specific task, like he did with me at the job that day, or like Abraham, or Jonah, or Moses, my encouragement to you would be to obey him. As tough as it may seem, as confusing as it may even be, when you know that God's speaking to you, it's time to listen and it's time to do. It's time to obey. You'll not find peace until you do. I remember the restlessness of that half a day's journey back that day. He had a purpose in all that, though, and I can see it now, whereas in the moment I couldn't. I just knew he was telling me to do something. Thankfully, I listened. But if you find yourself this morning here wondering what God's will for your life is, wondering which path to take, just realize that God reveals his will to those who put into practice these things. During those times of uncertainty and confusion in my life, I usually discovered that I was neglecting something on that list. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Perhaps there's a sin in your life that you need to confess and repent of. Remember, you can't properly discern God's will when you have put something in the way. Perhaps you're not separating yourself from the world. Perhaps you're not dedicating yourself to God like He would want you to. Maybe instead of making life about Him and His will, perhaps you're making life about you and your will. Or maybe you're forgetting that loving and serving others is the actual source of true fulfillment and peace in life. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus and trusted Him as Lord, Savior, and co-author of your life. What adventure is God calling you to pursue with Him this morning? You know, the cool thing about living in God's will is that it's freeing and it's empowering. Again, God will honor His word, and He'll honor the commitments that He's made to us. So as we do our part, He will certainly do His. This isn't on the screen, but I wanted to read this. It's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Encouraging words for those times of confusion, perhaps, in our lives. Yeah, I remember when God told me to make that tough decision of quitting my job. I thought it was crazy, too. It was hard for me to want to pursue that particular adventure at that particular time. But once I did, God grew me like never before, and He opened up opportunities that I never dreamed would have been possible. I'm experiencing one of them now. It was totally worth it, in short. And now I've got this cool story of adventure that I can tell and share with others about how God did an amazing work in me and through me because of my obedience to Him. Not because of me, not because of who I am, because of my obedience to Him and because of who He is. See, God will always honor and bless our obedience to Him. But our disobedience will always leave us with regret, lost opportunity, and confusion. So in what ways do you need to be obedient to God this morning? I want you to look back over these four things as we close, read through them, and just ask God to reveal to you where your next adventure with Him needs to start. And you can take comfort in knowing that as you're obedient in these areas, God will reveal more and more of His specific will for you in your life. Can I pray for us? Let's pray. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for creating us and giving us freedom, Lord. We thank you for letting us choose our own adventures in life, for letting us partner with you in the work that you want to do in us and through us. Lord, that is an exciting and a freeing thing, but it's also a scary thing because oftentimes, Lord, we have to confess we choose incorrectly. We choose selfishly. And so, Lord, we understand and we admit that that hinders our ability to discern your will in our lives. So, Father, I just ask that you'll just send your Holy Spirit right now to deal with our hearts, Lord, as we need to be dealt with, Lord. Help us to be honest with ourselves in these next few moments as to exactly what we need to address in our lives and in our hearts. Tell us where we're going wrong, Lord, where we're choosing our will over yours. Help us to realize these things so that we can get them out of the way, so that we can further understand what it is you have for us as individual children that you've created. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunities that you give us. We thank you for always honoring your word. We thank you for blessing us when we're obedient. Lord, may we be obedient to you in these next moments. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.